This week's parsha of Ekev contains within it the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. V'hoya im shamoa tishmu el mitzvosai asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom li'avo es Hashem Elokeichem ule'avdo b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. In front of you, on the first page of the Mar Mekomos, you'll see in brackets the language of the Obdo B'chol Levavchem. This particular phrase is the makor, is the source for many Rishonim regarding tefillah, the obligation on an ongoing basis to daven. It's well known that the Rambam subscribed to the position that tefillah is a din min haTorah. It's a din d'oraisa. And the Rambam derives it from this pasuk, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. The Rambam also cites the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Tainis, where the Gemara indicates that this pasuk is teaching us that there's a concept called avoda shebalev, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. What exactly is the nature of this avoda of shebalev? So the Rambam cites other pasukim, va'avartem es Hashem Elokeichem, a pasuk in Mishpatim, uverach es lachmecha v'yesmei necha, and the Rambam indicates that this avodah shebalev is a din d'oraisa. How is it manifest? When a person approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an ongoing basis in tefillah. You look at Rashi here on page number one of the Mar Mekomos. Rashi also cites that chazal, comments Rashi, ula'avdah b'chol levavchem avodah shehi b'lev v'zohi tefillah. Rashi says that is tefillah, shehatefillah kruya avoda. And Rashi cites a pasuk in Daniel to indicate that the avoda that the Torah is speaking about is the avoda satefillah. So we have the Rambam's position that avoda satefillah is a din d'oraisa. But part of the concept of avoda shebalev, which is what the Gemara in Tainis describes it, what is the nature of this avoda shebalev? So before we actually introduce some of the Rishonim, I just want to mention the language of the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ramban proves from a number of Gemaras that tefillah cannot be a din d'oraisa. Probably the most famous of all the Gemaras is the one they're all familiar with in Brachos, where the Gemara comments, if a person is a suffolk, whether he davened or not, Safik ispalel, safik lo ispalel, eino chozer ispalel. A person is not obligated when there's a doubt whether he davened or not to daven again, because the Gemara assumes that tefillah is a din d'rabbanon. It's only rabbinic in nature, and sfeika d'rabbanon l'kula. If you have a safik and a din d'rabbanon, we tend to be mekel, we tend to be lenient. So the Ramban contends that tefillah is not a din d'oraisa, but tefillah is a din d'rabbanon. But at the same time, the Ramban uses the following language, which is not in front of you, but the language of the Ramban, I want to read it from the Sefer HaMitzvos. Elavada kol inyan hatfila eino chova klal. There's no obligation, meaning min haTorah. Unlike the Ramban says, I contend that tfila is not a din min haTorah. Aval hu mi midas chesed habore yisbarach aleinu. It's one of the greatest, most boundless acts of chesed on the part of Hashem Yisbarach. Whenever we call out to Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds affirmatively. And then the Ramban cites this pasuk here in Parshas Ekev. What is the nature of this pasuk? So this pasuk is not specifically referring to only tefillah, as the Rambam understood, but rather the Ramban said this is a universalistic kind of pasuk, a universal pasuk. That whatever avoda the individual is going to invoke, whether it's avoda of tefillah, whether it's avoda of Talmud Torah, or other forms of avoda, but there's one tenai, one precondition that is critical. And what is that precondition, says the Ramban? The Torah is underscoring and accentuating this idea Ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. Has to be with all of our heart. Ramban continues, klomar, b'kavona ritzuya shlema lishmo ube'en hirura, without any other thought that would be ancillary, without any other thought that would detract from our focus on Hashem Yisbarach. In other words, there's no avoda of tefillah that's min haTorah. Unquestionably, tefillah is one of the many forms of avoda, of approaching Hashem Yisbarach. But whatever type of avoda we engage in, the tnai kolum lemaaseh, the precondition for that avoda is that it should be bikavona ritzuya shlema lishmo ubein hiru hara. Lo shenaseh hamitzah v'lo kavona ol asofek. Ula yesh b'em to'eles. Not that we should go ahead and engage in whatever avoda we're going to engage in, and we have some ambivalence about the efficacy of that avoda, that maybe it will be efficacious. Chas v'sholom. But rather, as the Ramban cites another pasuk, which we're also familiar with, ki inyon v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyadecha. She'amitzvah hi le'ov es Hashem b'chol lev v'lev. With all of our heart, we should bring to bear our entire personality, all of our passions, all of our desires, all the kochos that we have should be mustered, even to the point of giving up our lives, al kiddush Hashem, even to the point of b'chol ma'odecha, with all of our financial resources. But the key to the Ramban, and what seems to be the epicenter of the Ramban, is the language of the pasuk, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. The key in avodas Hashem is the lev, the heart. The key in avodas Hashem is the kavana haritzuya, is bringing to bear on the avoda that we're going to engage in all of the efforts that we can possibly muster. This is going to be the subject of our discussion this evening. In general, there's a well-known pitgam amami. Tefillah below kavana, keguf b'li neshama. A person who davens without proper kavana, without the ideal kavana, it's almost as if a body that's bereft of a soul, that has no neshama, that has no pulsating excitement to it, that has no oomph to it. And so tefillah with kavana, or avoda shebelev, is critical. And we're going to initially pose the famous question that's asked him out by all the Gdolei HaRishonim with reference to the idea of tefillah. And one can actually see this very clearly on page number one. The question was posed by the Sefer HaIkarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, in a very graphic, sharp, direct kind of way. I'll read some of the underlined sections that you have in front of you on page number one. It says Rabbi Yosef Albo, why are people, when it comes to davening, why do they have all types of sveikos, gnawing doubts? Why are there ambivalencies relating to tefillah? Even to the point where it can affect their connection with Hashem Yisbarach. This is what they contend. Ma'alish, ma'yolo nigzar, and then he writes in a very pointed, sharp way, im nigzar ein tzarach tefillah. If there's a gzera of Hashem Yisbarach in a certain direction, Hashem decreed X or decreed Y, so then tefillah is not going to have any effect whatsoever. It's not going to impact the gzera of Hashem Yisbarach. A gzera of Hashem Yisbarach is an absolute kind of decree, and tefillah cannot possibly affect it. Bimlo nigzar, let's assume there is no gzera, says Rabbi Yosef Albo. Ech Torah latfilah l'shanas ritzon Hashem. How is it possible, if there's no gzera, there was no divine decree, and now somehow one thinks, as a result of davening to Hashem Yisbarach, that one's going to effect a change in the ratzon of Hashem. Ligzar olav tov, acha shalom ligzar. If Hashem did not decree that a person should be the recipient of his beneficence, so how is a person, through the conduit, through the medium of tefillah, going to effect a change in Hashem's desire? So that's the basic question that is posed by Rabbi Yosef Albo. As I said, it's a question that's asked by many Rishonim. Essentially, the question is, Memanoshach. We know that tefillah generally consists of, one can divide it really into two different segments. Segment number one, Atchinos and Bakoshos, that probably, at least according to the Bavli, constitute the very essence, the very epicenter of what tefillah is all about. We know the Shemoneh Esrei that we daven on an ongoing basis consists of 19 brachos, three at the beginning, three at the end, and then we have the intermediate brachos. So those brachos are the very heart, are the very essence of what Shemoneh Esrei is all about, and the key is bakosha. So we have bakoshos and chinos, where we ask Hashem for all of our different srochim, different needs, areas that we feel that we are lacking, that we need, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to our tefillos. That's one segment. The second segment, of course, refers to Shevach, Hodor, Tefillos, Tehillos. We're involved in praise of Hashem Yisbarach, and through the kind of praises that we shower upon Hashem Yisbarach, that's a sign of our Hakara, of our deep-seated acknowledgement. That's a sign of our recognition that the world was created with all of its majesty and all of its beauty and all of its grandeur, and we recognize that, and we acknowledge it, and we obviously articulate it. So these are the two different segments of tefillah. So essentially, what Rabbi Yosef Albo, the Sefer HaYikarim, is asking is, Mimarashach, if a person has gzeira from on high in a positive direction, so then there's no need for tefillah. And if there was no gzeira, so how is tefillah going to change the Ratzon Hashem that suddenly he's now going to, as a result of tefillah, Hashem will completely effect a change and he'll be subject to gzeiras tovos? That's the issue. And the issue really can be sharpened by many of the tefillos that we are saying on an ongoing basis. Many now have, because of the corona situation, are saying Avinu Malkeinu. We're saying it in Shachris and in Mincha. And there in Avinu Malkeinu, we ask Hashem, Kra Roach Zar Dineinu. Hashem should tear asunder. He should rent asunder the Gzar Din of Corona. Because we issue such a bakasha, that's the reason why Hashem is going to change, going to somehow eliminate the Corona. And in general, there are many, many bakashos. How can finite man, who essentially is Dal HaSeichel and Dal HaMas, but not necessarily all of us individuals who are saturated with goodness and the like, how do we expect to effect such a change in Hashem Yisbarach? So Rabbi Yosef Albo, here on page number one, in the Sefer HaYikarim, poses the question, and he indicates that this was the issue that apparently Eov, of course, who was subject to terrible Yisurim, many, many tragedies that were visited upon him, Eov was in effect the one who really focused on this question. And if you look here in the Sefer, in the underlined section, Eov expresses it as the Rabbi Yosef Albo cites it when he says, Mashakai ki na'avdenu, manoil ki nifkabo. What's the point? What's the value of entreating Hashem Yisbarach, of davening to him? Hine yivoyer, shedaitim hoyo. What was his thinking? Shein kishon ha'masem mo'il. V'zeo amara, that's what he said. Mashakai ki na'avdenu. V'shein ha'tfila mo'ila. Tefillah is not going to have any positive impact. V'zeo amara, that's what he said. Uman noel ki nifkabo. And he goes on, umizeh, in the middle of the page, yivoyer shenota iyo v'das ha'rishoyim ha'omrim sha'gzera emes. When Hashem issues a gzera, it's of an absolute nature. There's no way we can negate, repudiate, effect a change in the gzera. And of course, Rabbi Yosef Albo says, this is not right. This is incorrect. This is not a proper hashkafa, a proper attitude towards davening, towards tefillah. Shehashpos ha'el yonos yushpo ala mekabel. He indicates that one of the premises in order for tefillah to work, in order for tefillah to be effective, a person has to become a clay kibble. A person has to become a receptacle, a vessel that is capable of accepting the beneficence of Hashem Yisbarach. How does one go about doing that? So he goes on to explain, Rabbi Yosef Balbo, v'zeh adas einenu nochon, as I just read, v'yim lo yochin ha'odem atzma l'kabal ha'shefa ahu, if a person doesn't prepare himself, as we'll see in a moment how, hinei hu ha'moneh ha'tov me'atzmo, he's the one who's responsible for his tfilos not being accepted. She'im nigzar alish al derech mashal, she'atzlichu tfuoso b'shon ha'ploni. Let's assume that there's a gzeirah min ha'shamayim, as the Gemara discussed in Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere, that a person should have prosperity. Someone's a farmer, and he hopes that his toil and effort, all the work that he does, all the malachas that he engages in, will hopefully, in Yitz Hashem, result in a fruitful crop. However, let's say we are a person, a farmer, who plans on just sitting back passively. He doesn't plan on doing any plowing, any sowing. He's not going to do any of the agricultural activities that are involved in, obviously, any classical farmhand. So even if Hashem inundates the world with rain and there's no shortage of water, how does he expect to have any hatzlocha? He's the source, he's the cause of his failure to have a productive crop because he did not invest time and energy and effort that's required. That's the minimum. Therefore, we should say, when a person has a particular gzeira, so says the Rabbeinu Yosef Albo, a very important fundamental yusuf. That gzeira is nigzar on a person basher husham. Whatever his particular level of avoda is at that point in time, that is the gzeira that's connected to that individual where he's at that moment. And that's what he writes. When nigzar tov, he has in a certain madrega. So then, if God forbid, the gzeira is in another direction, in a negative direction, because he's also in a certain madrega, which of course leaves a lot to be desired. So now the question is, how can you go about effecting a change in the gzeira? And the answer is, he has to change his level of avoda. He has to change his status. He has to completely transform himself. He has to undergo some metamorphosis. And that's what he writes. Ukshenishtana madrega hi, o achana hahi, tishtana hagzeira. If a person undergoes significant and serious change in his persona and his personality, and we'll see in a moment how he goes about doing that, then the gzeira will no longer be directed to this new individual. The Rambam writes actually in Hilchos Tshuva, when a person does tshuva, so then he's no longer the same person that he was before he did tshuva. And the Rambam actually expresses it in very dramatic language. Emesh, yesterday, hoyazeh, misuav, mishukatz, this person was not so favored in the eyes of Hashem Yisbarach. He was actually in a state of disfavor. He was in a state of desuetude. Hashem was not enamored of him. But now as a result of a wrenching tshuva and changing his personality, says the Rambam, now he's Ohuv, Nechmad, V'yedid. He's now become a favorite son of Hashem Yisbarach. He's now in the intimate embrace of Hashem Yisbarach. He's a totally transformed individual. And Rabbi Yosef Albo would tell you that even if there was a gzera on the former individual, now that he's transformed, so of course the gzera is no longer directed to this new individual. He's taken on a new personality. If anything, his personality prior to this was, perhaps one would say, a pseudo-personality, not the real individual. It was covered with grime and grease, with all kinds of layers of Yetzirah and the like. And now the person has effected a major change by a wrenching tshuva, and that's what Rabbi Yosef Albo here comments as well. Once a person undergoes a change in a positive direction as a result of tshuva and limud Torah, and acts of chesed, and masim tovim, now he's become a different kli. He's now a kli kibo, he now becomes a vessel which now is muchan, ready to receive the bounty and largess, the great chesed of Hashem Yisbarach. And he brings a number of interesting proofs. He brings a raya from Eli. We know that Eli HaKohen was punished, and we know that the base Eli, those who come from Eli, unfortunately and tragically, their lives are cut short prematurely. They did not have Arichas Yomim, but the Gemara tells us, and this is what Rabbi Yosef Alba quotes towards the bottom of this citation, that Rava came and Rava told the members of the family of Eli, Zilu Isku Batera, engage in the study of Torah, because it says, Ki Chayecha Varach Yamecha, one who engages in the study of Torah will have longevity, will have long days. So Rabbi Yosef Alba interprets this in the following way. Sheyeroe mi divreim, shagzeros o elokios hein heina, biyos hamekabel ba'achonim adrega yedua. Again, the gzera on living a short-lived kind of lifestyle was only against the individual who did not have the other kalim, which now he's going to arm himself with, namely the study of Torah, beneficent acts of chesed, as the Gemara says, v'im tishtana madrega, tishtana gzera. Once the person's madrega changes, then all of a sudden he's an individual who has been transformed, and the old gzera that was directed against the old personality is no longer directed against this new persona. And that's why he explains the Gemara Shoshana. The Gemara says that there are a number of things that can actually cause a change in gzera of Hashem Yisbarach, Shini Hashem, Shini Maise. Shini Hashem, of course, doesn't only mean that I change my name, but rather it means a complete and total transformation of my personality. Shinu Maisa, change my behavior. And that, of course, is a lengthy process, one that's wrenching, one that requires a lot of internalizing, one that requires enormous amount of introspection and self-examination, self-scrutiny. And that's how he explains, Mizeh Atzad Hu Shatol HaTshuva de Rosha. Aidei Tshuva, when a person does Tshuva and changes the course of his life, Kilu Nepach Li Shacher. Shlo Nidzu Alav Osag Zera. And he brings a raya from Achav. Achav was a terrible king. Was the Rosh Merusha. Achav, the one whose wife, Izeva, was also Mashas. And yet, Chazal comment on a pasuk in Melachim that Rabbi Yosef Alba cites. Achav shenigzu alo gzera. The gzera against Achav was very clear. He was destined to be consigned to perdition. What happened? At one point he realized, he looked back at his life and he realized that his entire life was essentially one that was absolutely not fruitful, not successful, without hatzlacha. And as a result, he completely and totally decided to change course of his life. And as a result of that, Elio indicates that Hashem said, I'm not going to punish him in his lifetime to the extent I would have. So the yisod that Rabbi Yosef Alba is declaring and laying down is a very, very fundamental, very basic yisod. Namely, that in order for tefillah to be effective, in order for a person to be able to effect a shinui in the gzera of Hashem Yisbarach, a person has to completely and totally transform himself and become a totally different kli that is ready to be mekabel the shefa of Hashem Yisbarach, and that can only happen if one is completely transformed. Many examples can be cited because this yisod, as we'll see in a little while, is one that is very much based on many, many Ma'amari Chazal, and we'll see Rishonim address it very clearly. Often people think that if someone, Chas V'Shalom, is not well, someone is ill, so a person, obviously, is going to go to doctors and he'll have his medical situation evaluated and they'll attempt to diagnose what the issue is, and eventually they might even prescribe different types of medicaments and therapies, administrations, perhaps even surgery if necessary. And the Cholei hopes that as a result of all the above treatment, he'll be able to have a refuah shleima. That's at a surface, very simplistic kind of level. But in reality, we daven three times a day in the Shemoneh Esrei, Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. Refaeinu Hashem b'nei Rofei. Whom do we ask? We ask Hashem to heal us. Hoshienu v'divoshea kisil asenu ata. V'halei refuah shleima l'chol makoseinu. Why? Kikel melech neman, kikel melech rofei neman v'rachman ata. Baruch atah Hashem rofei cholei amo Yisrael. The ultimate rofei is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's true, we go to a medical doctor who is trained, who has expertise, who went to medical school for many, many years, and who has the ability to go ahead and hopefully help us and cure our problems. But ultimately, it's not the doctor. The doctor is only a shaliach. Hopefully, he's a shliach neman, a trustworthy shliach. Hopefully, he's a shliach who has the schus of being able to heal us, to help us. That is the nature of refuah. And in a similar vein, a person thinks that he's a very astute businessman. He has a lot of business acumen. He knows where to invest, how to invest, what to invest. And as a result, after studying the matter carefully, he goes ahead and carries out his machshava. And unquestionably, often, he's successful. But at the end of the day, who's the one who directed us? Who's the one who guided us? Who's the one who mentored us? Who's the one who, to a certain extent, planted the thought of moving in this direction? None other than Hashem Yisbarach. And we have to acknowledge that he is not only the Mekor HaRefuah, but the Mekor HaDas. And this idea is one that's expressed very clearly and very incisively in a well-known pasuk in this week's parsha. If you take a look on page number 2, the Torah describes how Hashem Yisbarach and Moshe Rabbeinu, essentially, who is re-articulating what Hashem has done for us in our peregrinations and our sojourn in the desert. And the psukim indicate here, towards the left-hand corner, Hama'achilcha mon b'midbar asher lo yodouna vosecho leman anosecho uleman nasosecho lehitivcho b'yachrisecho. Hashem Yisbarach provided us with a wealth of shefa when we were wandering in the midbar. But often a person could forget, as the psukim prior to this indicate, and a person then may come to a false and fallacious kind of maskana, as mentioned in Pasuk Yitzayim. It was my wisdom and my insight and my business acumen and my knowledge and my study, careful study, didactic study of whatever area I wanted to pursue, that's really responsible for any atzlacha that I had. So the Torah goes on to say in the underlying pasuk Yud Ches in Ekev, "Bizochato as Hashem Elokecha, ki hu anosein lecha koach la'asos choyim." It's not kochi v'yotzim yodi she'asol yisachay lazeh, but rather it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gave you the insight. He gave you the understanding. He gave you the intuition. He gave you the wisdom, the foresight to invest, to go ahead and act as you did. And the way the Targum translates, one of the most famous Targum Unkelus on Chumash, remember Hashem, arehu yoyiv lecha eitza. He is the Baal Eitza par excellence. The Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the one who gave you the Eitza, lemitni nichsin. He's the one who somehow guided you to invest, whether it's in real estate or is in some business venture or some other enterprise. Bidil kayom yaskiyom dikayom, and he is the one responsible for whatever hatzlocha that you had. So you see clearly in the Unkelus, almost explicitly, that even though you are mashkia in some nadlan, in some real estate venture, and Baruch Hashem, you became fabulously wealthy. At the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one responsible for your success. He's the Baal Eitza, Shein Kamo. La'odom marchei lev, u'me Hashem ma'aneh lashon. A person thinks that I'm the one who's responsible. But ultimately, the Aleph Beis of Emunah indicates otherwise. One of the well-known Ikrim of the Rambam, you have it on page number 3 in the left-hand corner, Ani mamin be'emunah shlema, shabore yisbarach shemo, hu borei u'manhig l'chol abruim. Not only is Hashem the borei olam, the creator, the one who directs traffic, but the Rambam goes on to say, v'hu levado asa ve'oseh v'yaseh l'chol ha'masim. He's the one who did, past tense, oseh, present tense, does, v'yaseh, and will do, l'chol ha'masim. Ultimately, any atzlocha that a person has is due to Hashem Yisbarach, to the guidance that Hashem Yisbarach gives a person, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. Rav Soloveitchik was always fond of quoting a Zohar. The Zohar says that when a person makes a decision, there are usually two approaches that a person uses to make a decision. One is what the Zohar calls Ratzon Ha'Elyon, and one is what the Zohar calls Ratzon HaTachton. Ratzon Ha'Elyon means that a person has a particular destiny, particular mandate that he would like to carry out. So now he examines the pluses, the minuses, the pros, the cons, the merits, the demerits, in a very objective, dispassionate, hopefully kind of fashion. And based on that, if the merits outweigh the demerits, the pros outweigh the cons, then the person will go with that inclination. Because that's a rational kind of approach. It's an approach based al pi seichel, al pi higayon, al pi logic. That's exactly the way we should, in general, approach things in life. That the seichel should always be the element that governs our decision-making process. However, often a person will have two or three choices. They all seem to be equally significant and perhaps could all lead me to success in what I'm looking for, perhaps in business ventures and the like, or in other areas of my life, even in terms of shidduchim that young people look for, and maybe they have several options, several possibilities in front of them, and they all seem to be more or less equal. This one has certain milas, the other one has other milas, this one has certain chesronos, the other one has certain chesronos, and now the question is what to do. So Ratzon HaElyon would dictate, let's go ahead and examine carefully each candidate and decide which is the best based on the pro con, the merits that I discussed a moment ago. And yet, what usually happens? How does a person make a decision? Probably more often than not, said Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, it's not using the Ratzon HaElyon, but it's using what the Zohar calls Ratzon HaTachton. Ratzon HaTachton means a gut feeling that I have, an instinct that moves me in a certain direction. I have perhaps a chalom in the middle of the night telling me, go in this direction. Maybe I hear bas calls, min hashamayim. In other words, it's not necessarily a rational kind of decision that often a person goes with, but rather my regesh, my hargosha, my innards tell me, do this, even though the Ratzon HaElyon is in a different direction, my Ratzon HaTachton tells me that's not the way to go. And that's amazing. Where does that Ratzon HaTachton come from? And of course, it comes from Hashem Yisbarach. Sometimes Hashem has to protect us, even against our own seichel. Often our seichel is misguided. Often our seichel is nogea b'davar. Often it's biased. Often there are prejudices. Often we think that we're looking at things objectively, but we're not. And often our Ratzon HaTachton will come and protect us and save us, even though it's not necessarily based on a rational kind of analysis, but rather more on an instinctive kind of feeling, a hergish that I have, that this is the direction I should move in. Where does that hergish come from? What's the source of that hergish, of that hargosha, of that instinct? And the answer, of course, is Hashem Yisbarach, who's constantly guiding us, maneuvering, manipulating. Of course we have Bechira Chafshis. Of course we have to do our Ishtadlis. Of course we have to analyze things logically and rationally. No question about it. But at the same time, we have to recognize this element. And that's exactly what's embedded here in this Targum. He gave you an Eitzah. Often an Eitzah is something that comes from left field that I don't expect. It's unexpected. It could even be jarring to my seichel, to my rational analysis that I subjected the situation to. And yet, often, it's that Eitzah and that seichel that's going to be an overriding factor. So going back to the Yisod of Rabbi Yosef Alba of the Sefer Yikarim, a person, in order that one's tfilos should be accepted to Hashem Yisbarach, there's no din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obligated to accept our tfilos. In the Shemoneh Esrei we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tfila. We don't necessarily say, Mikabel Tfilos. Hashem is not necessarily accepting of all of our tfilos. He's a Shomea. He hears, and then he will weigh, based on his analysis, evaluation, appraisal of our personality. Are we a clay kibbol that Hashem should shower us with the chesed that we feel that we deserve? Are we worthy of being recipients of that chesed? So Rabbi Yosef Alba said, that depends on where we're at in terms of our avodas Hashem at that point in time. So if we effect a change in our personalities, tefillah automatically bespeaks and somehow assumes a shinoi pinimi, an inner change in our very persona. What are we changing? The answer is we are trying to overcome whatever yitzarim, whatever passions and desires, whatever sensuality often guides us in doing things which may often be incorrect. We're trying to completely approach Hashem with a certain kind of nikiyut, a certain kind of tara, a certain kind of purity, and that requires enormous amount of introspection, self-examination, taking the flashlight, turning it inwardly, and trying somehow to make sure that we are worthy, that we have the kelim, that Hashem, in effect, will look at us and say, oh, that zera that was directed against that former individual is no longer relevant. He's now nepach li'ish acher. The way Chazal described a Navi, who's nepach li'ish acher, that this individual also is now transformed, and as a result, he's worthy of chesed that the other individual may not have been worthy of. This idea that a person can change his entire persona as a result of tefillah, as a result of tshuva, as a result of masim tovim, really underscores the koach tefillah. And this koach tefillah is mentioned by many, many rishonim. For example, on page number 2, Rabbeinu B'chaye comments also on this pasuk that we began with an ekev. So the pasuk indicates, he quotes the Chazal, that this refers to tefillah, and then he goes on in the second paragraph to make the following statement. That a person can change, literally, nature. One can undo even gzeros of Hashem Yisbarach. The proof that the teva can be changed is from Yitzchak, in terms of imahos that were akoros, they were barren, they weren't able to have children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu misabel the tefilosim shel tzadikim, and as a result of that tefillah, they were zochet to children. And he continues, in terms of sakona, in Tehillim, Perakuv Zayin, that deals with all types of natural disasters, and he describes, from the Pesukim of Tehillim, someone at sea, and the ship is about to capsize, chas v'sholom, yalu shamayim, yerud d'tohomos, nafshem beruah, tismogog, and the sailor cries out to Hashem, and as a result, suddenly, the sea begins to calm, the winds no longer are tempestuous, umikan sheh tefillah megina al hasakana levatel hagzera. And he brings other rayas from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Navi told him, Tzav lebeischa, issue your last will and testament, you're going to die. And the Navi was given another 15 years to live. And again, the koach hatfilah. So we see the koach hatfilah is incredibly powerful. Now it is true that sometimes a person can be under haftocha letov, and that can be undermined. Such as the Gemara has in Brachas and Avdalim on the bottom of page 2, Yaakov Avino, Hashem promised him, I'll never leave you. Ad Asher Masisi Es Hashem Dibarti Loch. But the Gemara said Yaakov Avinu was frightened. Shema Yigra Machet. Maybe as a result of becoming mired in sin, wallowing in chet, chas v'sholom, even the haftocha of Hashem Yisbarach will be nullified, will be rendered null and void. And in a similar vein, Mefarshim asked at the bottom of page number 2 in the right-hand column, when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, we cried out to Hashem, and the pasuk says, Vatal shavosav el ha'elkim in avoda, and Hashem heard our tfilos. So the question, of course, is, what do you mean? Why the necessity for tfilos? There's a haftacha. The bris ben absorim, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. Yes, we're going to go through Yisurim. Yado ateida kiger yelohem. Kiger yezaracho b'yeres lolohem. V'avodum lino osom abba meir shono. V'gam esagoy ashir avodu dono nochi b'yachrechein yeitzu b'chush gadol. Eventually, we're going to leave. So why the necessity for tefillah? And the same yisod, in order to receive a haftacha, in the ideal way, it can only come about if we are klei kibul, if we're going to make ourselves muchan, we'll be ready to receive the shefa from Hashem Yisbarach, and that comes about through tefillah, and that's the yisod of the sefer yikari. A person through tefillah is able to purify himself. And this comment is also made by Avira Levi, in the Kuzari, in the third Mamar, on page number 2, upper right-hand corner, he comments on how a person should approach Hashem Yisbarach. There has to be total synchrony between the language that I'm using and my kavona. It's not just a question of a nightingale or some bird chirping away. Every word is saturated with kavana. My entire day revolves around tefillah. My interest is that I should completely divest myself of the animal in me, of the physicality in me, and try my best to connect to the spiritual makor where my neshama rests. And he goes on, via priyoma v'leilo ha'shalosh shitos ha'im shel tefillah, 3 times a day should be the very epicenter of my entire life. And he goes on, the next paragraph, that just as the guf requires mazon, the nefesh also requires mazon, and that mazon is dafka acquired through tefillah, but dafka tefillah b'kavana. This idea, which is embedded in the pasuk that we cited a few moments ago, that Hashem is the one who gives me etzah, is also the Ramban directly below Rabbi Alev in the Kuzari. Ramban comments on that pasuk, he writes that we know that Klal Yisrael were, in terms of their commitment as soldiers, they were valorous, they were brave, they were very courageous. And yet, the Torah tells us that we should not think, because clearly in the Midbar, where we were to a certain extent hapless, Hashem is brought provided for us. In Cain, Gama Chayel Azeh Asher Asisa, V'kolchacha Hashem U'shanasa L'cha HaKoach K'asher Asisa also. The moment we forget Hashem, chas v'sholom, and forget that He's the source of HaKoach, then God forbid, we are at peril. And therefore, one should not think, kol chivyot sim yodi, asali esachai alazen. That's how the Ramban interprets all the psukim that I didn't cite over here, but he mentions a number of them, that even though the nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael were almost invincible, they were mighty, they were giants, how could we possibly vanquish such a strong group of soldiers? And they have fortified cities. How can we conquer them? B'nei Anokim, says the Ramban, Yeshech HaLadas, the last 4 lines. Ki lo tucha labra aleim klau, at she teda bilvavcha, ki Hashem ha'ovei lefanecha, hu eishoch lo, hu yashmideim, hu yachniyim, lo koach, ve'otzim yashin asan lechav. Ava yad Hashem asa zos, v'takifim shavayim. It's all the Ribbono Shel Olam completely who's responsible. So this notion of the Koach HaTfilah is also one that we appreciate and certainly understand the power of tefillah and the koach tefillah. The Ramchal, Ramesh Shechayim Lutzato, in many of his svarim, he explains that tefillah really is a reflection of the close yachas that Klal Yisrael has with Hashem Yisbarach. And Hashem Yisbarach established a system in the world where human beings receive their shefa directly from Hashem. But in order to receive that shefa, they have to realize that it is dependent and contingent upon their tefillos to Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem wants to give bechesed, beispashtos, but we have to ask for it. That's a tznai kodom lemaisa, namely the idea of tefillah. And Rashi comments already, this is the Rashi that's found on page number 3, the beginning of Bereshis, a well-known Rashi, where Rashi really expresses this idea very beautifully. Before the trees were created in Bereshis, and before all vegetation came about, because Hashem had not yet sent rain upon the earth, and there was no Adam to work the soil. So Rashi explains that no one was present to recognize the value of rain. When Adam Rishu was created, he understood the value of Geshem, the value of rain. He davened and rain fell. Essentially, in order for rain to fall, in order for man to be able to have the essentials that he requires for his existence, he has to daven for it. Hashem desires atfilos. And therefore, that's the key to everything. Rabbi Yochum Lulavitz, the Mashiach and the Mir, used to point out, nothing is granted without tefillah. Tefillah is the key to unlocking all the heavenly potential. I heard a very beautiful idea from HaGoyim, Rabbi Yachmiel Krem Shlita. He suggested that the key, as we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, is kavana in tefillah. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh Kodashim. And Chazal, the Gemara says that he would utter a short tefillah. So one would have thought that the tefillah would be some earth-shattering kind of tefillah on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But that's not the case. The tefillah of the Kohen Gadol is that Hashem not permit Hochei Drochim to impede our tefillahs for rain. Because clearly rain is significant for the entire world. Without rain, there's no food. And while rain is essential for those who are at home, the Hochei Drochim, people who are traveling, would appreciate good weather. They don't want to be caught in the rain because it causes difficulty. So here, the entire Klal Yisrael is davening to Hashem for Geshem in order to sustain us for another year. The same Talamata and all the other tefillos that we say. And now, the tefillos of a few people who are traveling on the road, who are inconvenienced by this rain, somehow have the ability to prevent the rain from falling. How is that possible? That's incredible. How can the tefillos of a few people mitigate the tefillos of an entire nation? Okay, they're disturbed by the rain. They don't want to be in rain-soaked roads. They don't want their clothes to be dripping wet. But how are they able to somehow overcome all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, of the rest of the world? So Rabbi Yachmiel Krem Shlita explained, there's a difference in the way people express their bakasha to Hashem Yisbarach. Often we ask for rain three times daily. However, we do it by rote, and it's not a heartfelt kind of tefillah. Of course, we want rain. Of course, rain is necessary, but it does not necessarily originate me'omka d'liba, from the innermost chambers of our hearts. And in order for Hashem to listen to tefillahs, it has to come me'omka d'liba. So this individual who's traveling, who's on the road, when he davens to Hashem that the weather should be in order, that he should be able to continue his travel and arrive home safely, his tefillos in many, many respects are far more sincere and far more with kavana. And then, under those circumstances, the Shamayim opens up and his bakosh is given access to Hashem Yisbarach. I saw it. A story that Yitzhak Zilberstein Shlita, a Gaon of Yitzhak Zilberstein, tells the following story, which reinforces the notion of an efficacy of tefillah, regardless of who is the supplicant. He mentioned that many years ago, there was a person who happened to be a Baal Tshuva, and he became actually a very big Talmud Chacham, and he actually founded many organizations that were involved in Kiruv, in being Mekarev Achenu B'nai Yisrael, and he was very, very successful. Almost he had a kind of bracha from Hashem Yisbarach that was fairly evident. And he told his life story. He was the grandson of the first Sar HaChinuch of the State of Israel, the first minister of education of the State of Israel. Namely, the prime minister was Ben Gurion, and he was not necessarily this Sar HaChinuch known for his love of Torah, and he established a system that was not necessarily in agreement with the Torah ideology, with Torah philosophy, but more in sync with the prime minister, with Ben Gurion, who was an elder statesman, the main spokesman for the State of Israel. And although he himself was not an observant Jew, but he came from Europe, and a bit he remembered some of the traditions, some of the minhagim that they had in his family. And so too his wife was very similar to her husband. She was also originally from an observant home, but she essentially discarded everything with the exception of one practice that she continued, namely, Hadlakas Neros on Erev Shabbos. She would light candles every Erev Shabbos. So remembering that her mother had issued and actually davened every time she lit Neros, namely, the davening was about her offspring, her children, they should be successful, they should be matzliach. So since Ben-Gurion was her husband's hero, she always davened that her offspring should become like Ben-Gurion. Sometime later, Ben-Gurion had a meeting with the Chazon Ish. This is a very well-known meeting, a meeting with the Gadol HaDor, the preeminent Torah leader of the generation, a secular prime minister, and the Havdil, the Gadol HaDor. And when Ben-Gurion left the house of the Chazon Ish, he told his close associates that he had never seen in his life such a person. He said, I saw in the Chazon Ish the image of a heavenly malach, of an angel. This is what he told the Sar HaChinuch, his minister of education. And when the minister returned home, he shared this comment with his wife, who understood from that encounter that the powerful Ben-Gurion had met someone who impressed him. If Ben-Gurion was so impressed with the Chazon Ish, so from that point on, in her Erev Shabbos, Hadlakas Neros, she would ask Hashem that her children, her offspring, should aspire to be the same level of distinction as the Chazon Ish. Obviously, she was not totally successful because no one has the greatness of the Chazon Ish, but at the end, her grandson became an unbelievable Marbitz Torah who built Kiruv institutions, and that's an amazing thing. On the bottom of page number 3, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us about two individuals who have a similar situation. They're sick. Shnaim sholu lemita, v'chol yon shove, shnaim sholu legardom, bedinon shove, ze yorad, ze lo yorad, ze nitzal, ze lo nitzal. One of them was saved, one of them recovered, the other one unfortunately did not recover. And the Gemara asks, why? Why is one healed and the other not? Why did one make it, the other one did not make it? And the Gemara answers, because one of them daven b'tfila shlema. He daven with his whole personality, with complete kavana, with complete intention and devotion, and the other one did not. And this is amazing. Two men that their lives are completely dependent upon tefillah, upon the nature of their davening. Surely they're going to pray, they're going to daven as if their life depended on it. When a person is in terrible danger, that's generally when people begin to daven. So Rabbi Eliyahu Lopyan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the great Mashkiach, explains that both of them prayed with great kavana. They obviously stormed Shmei Shamayim with their bakosha, and they put out their hearts. One of them, however, was missing one nekuda. He didn't believe that it would be answered. He felt that his situation was hopeless. And to a certain extent, he gave up. The other one, of course, believed that it's going to make a difference. And that's called tefillah shlema. So no tefillah comes back reikam. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who in Vaschanan offered 515 tefillos to Hashem Yisbarach, begging him to be allowed entry to Eretz Yisrael. And in the end, Hashem said no. But the Beis Elokim, the Mabit, writes that his tefillos were not wasted. Hashem allowed Moshe to see not only entire Eretz Yisrael, but he showed him what's going to happen from the time Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael till the days of Mashiach. And those his tefillos were certainly not for naught. So essentially, we're going back to Rabbi Yosef Albo. The purpose of tefillah is not to change Hashem's mind. Once Hashem issues a gzeira, it always remains in place. But when a person davens with great kavana, la'avda b'chol avavchem, recognizing and realizing that ein ol milvado, without Hashem is baruch, I am lost, all salvation comes from him, then it makes him into a new individual. Now, during this terrible pandemic that we have seen for the last number of months, we're engulfed to a large extent in all types of problematica, difficult situations. Many people are suffering, that those who have the COVID, and many people, even great tzaddikim, when niftar passed away, we have to recognize that the only address that we have is Hashem Yisbarach. And our davening has to be with such kavana, with such a deep-rooted awareness that only Hashem can help us. And that's how we have to approach Ribbono Shel Olam during this period of time. The Ran, in the Drasha Saran number 10, on the top part of page 3, points this out, that the Torah tells us in Ekev, what does he ask from us? And then there's a list of items. That initially, we have to recognize he is the source of our Hatzlacha. And we basically are completely hopeless and hapless. And he goes on to quote the psukim that we mentioned earlier. And at the end, the Ran writes something very critical and very significant. Again, on the pasuk of Kochiv Yotzim Yodi Asal Yisachai Lazeh, but we have to remember where it came from, this Koach. Min esonu eilecha me'ayin bo v'zochartu as Hashem elokecha, the pasuk says, it doesn't say ki hu nosin lecha hachayil, that he gives you success, but rather, hu nosin lecha koach lasos chayil. Hashem Yisbarach is the one who makes it all happen. And we'll just, by way of siyum, mention on page number 4, a very fantastic chazal about 4 kings, that each one was toleach makadosh baruch hu something differently. David HaMelech said, Erdof oivai ve'asigem, I'm going to pursue my enemies doggedly. V'lo oshu v'ad kaloisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani osekein, I'll take care of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who guided the way. Osa, following upon the heels of David, Ani ein bikoach laroglem, I don't have that capacity. I'll simply pursue them, and Hashem, you take care of the rest. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, Ani osekein. Yoshafat, I can neither do killing or pursuing. I'll simply say Shira to Hashem Yisbarach, Biata Ose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. And finally, Chizkiyahu HaMelech said, Ani ein bikach lo larog, v'lo lirdov, v'lo lo mashira, ani yoshein b'mitosi v'ata ose. Look at the unbelievable level of bitachon that Chizkiyahu HaMelech had, completely and totally throwing himself at the mercy of Hashem Yisbarach. He will be completely and totally passive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim, Vayi balayla hu, vayitzi malach Hashem, vayach b'machane Ashur. So these are all different forms of tefillah, and the koach tefillah is critical. So the Torah tells us, Vahoyim shema tishmuel mitzvos, ayashe anokhi mitzav eschav ayom, liyavu as Hashem elokechim ulovdo, b'chol levavchem. This is the key. The greater the kavana, the greater the passion, the greater the sense of Eino Milvado, the more effective our tefillos will be. Halavai that all of us should try our best to express our heartfelt tefillos with the deep-rooted emuna that Hashem will help us. And Be'ezer Hashem, Hashleich al Hashem Yehovicha Vehu Yichal Kalecha. Let us throw ourselves at the mercy of Hashem Yisbarach, and Be'ezer Hashem, we will be transformed, we'll undergo a metamorphosis, and the gzeira of the COVID-19 will no longer be upon us, because we have completely effected a change in our lives, in our personality, in our behavior, and in Yitzhak Hashem will be zocher to b'soros tovos, Yeshua Svechamos.
Amen. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Shikach.